for you.
The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty is recorded live with the men and women of law enforcement. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Now, here's your host, Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell.
Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Well, good evening. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today on The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty. And as always, on there, you can contact us at 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464, Facebook, YouTube, X, or LinkedIn. And I'm Sheriff Darren Campbell, joined with Major Bill Hamby. And today we've got a treat with, Major, I'm sorry,
Lord, I demoted you.
Well, we're still getting used to this.
Sorry.
Bill Hamby.
I've done been demoted.
Yep. And Major Troy Miller. It could have been worse if I'd called you a chief. And Bill, a major.
That could have happened.
There you go. Welcome, Troy.
That would have been news to everybody, wouldn't
yes.
it?
And if everybody's wondering, we are in a new setting, so we're going to try to break this in. Joe's outside of us in a little dancing. You can't see him no more on TV.
You guys doing okay in there?
It's kind of like watching you in the holding cell at the detention center, yeah. Joe.
Well, you're not going to see me there anytime soon. I can
hope
promise
not.
That.
I hope not. Dude, this is nice.
It is nice. It's going to be fun, too.
You men have done some awesome work here, Sheriff. I think this looks great.
It does look good, and it's a lot more comfortable. The only thing you've done is had us maybe some food and drink or
snacks.
Something. And things like
some
that.
Snacks, Joe. Can you put that in the budget?
I'll see what I can do. I'll talk to
the we'll get
upstairs.
Some Facebook comments to see what kind of snacks I'm scared to hear. Probably celery sticks and carrots. But well, anyway.
It's probably what I need.
Well, today, Troy, we sort of, we in our new little place here, but we've got a conversation that we will take calls as we can, and we'll answer what we can. But
right.
I think this weekend there's been a lot of news out, and I thought it was a good time to talk a little bit about, the weekend we had with the double homicide, and then also our tactical team being called out because, both of us have served as on our tactical team all the way up through the team leaders. So
yeah.
I guess to set the stage the other night, we had a call of a double murder.
Right.
Potentially three people were shot.
Yeah.
Two is deceased. Our great investigators was able to locate a person, and the captain of our patrol division was working it, was able to locate a suspect with the vehicle that we had.
Right.
And I guess go from there because there's shots fired, and we'll sort of critique it, and it's one of those things that we hate anybody lost their life. Anybody, on any side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, it was Saturday, about around 6:30, 7 p.m., our phones start going off, and we got a shooting. It turned into a double homicide with a third person that was injured at a house in the Mooresville area down off Bailey Road. So, we got our homicide team responding to that. Well, while we're getting everyone to the scene to start investigating our homicide, our other officers are following up on some leads. Well, they get a lead on a suspect vehicle, which leads them to another house over on Oswald Amity Road. We get some officers over there to that residence, and come to find out one of our prime homicide suspects is inside the house. When officers attempt to speak with him, he's equipped with a bulletproof vest and AR-style rifle. Well, our officers quickly took up positions around the house, and now we've got a standoff going on at one place and a crime scene, a homicide investigation going on at the same time at another residence. So it was a lot at one time. So everyone, I can't say how proud I am, just everybody that our detectives, our patrol officers, everyone that just handled that situation. And then our CERT team gets called out to handle our standoff with the situation going on in Oswald Amity. And we still got investigators over at our homicide scene off of Bailey Road. So it was quite a hectic night.
Well, I think that's one thing we'll talk a little bit about here on the show. Not just that, but the capability, because at the same time, we still have calls for service from, it may be a domestic in Union Grove to a missing child down in...
That's right, yeah.
Mooresville, Cottle Creek somewhere. So
yeah.
And Bill, you were out there. I think we were all out there.
Yes, sir. You know, just one thing to kind of echo what Troy was saying about being proud of everybody. Just sitting here doing mental math, trying to, but before the show come on, I think at any given point after about 6:30 that Saturday night, we had upwards of 40 people out.
Right.
Yeah. All the investigators, all the CERT team, all the command staff, crime scene, plus had the resources to take care of the calls in the rest of the county. I don't know of many agencies in our area, minus just a couple, that have those kind of resources to be able to do that. So, one, kudos to Sheriff Redmond, and kudos to you too, Sheriff Campbell, for having the wherewithal to get those kind of resources in place, have the resources, crime scene officers. We didn't have to wait on another agency. We didn't have to wait on any assistance. Troy, I know that you and I met at the office, and then I went on down to Bailey Road, and you were able to transition over to the shooting scene. So while the standoff was going on, we were still working a crime scene.
Yeah. Well,
independent entities from one another while we were communicating.
Yeah.
Because I knew while you guys were there, Sheriff, I know that you were there initially. You saw things that we were able to look for on the crime scene. We got information on the crime scene to help you guys over there. And then just another thing that to echo, and I know you're going to talk about it, Sheriff. We don't wait. We don't wait to jump on information. Troy, we got information at the initial crime scene about a potential vehicle. Our roadmen and women were out scouring the area and came upon the vehicle.
That's correct.
So it's not like it's like, well, it's not really my job. No, this was all hands on deck.
Yeah.
Everybody goes into action, and it turned out great.
Well, and I'm like you, there's so many different angles that it took. You know, having people, we've always said we want to train people to be specialized in certain things, but have training overall.
Yes.
So the patrol guys, a lot of your CID guys, former supervisors, and your supervisors on road now come from investigations division. So you're right. At the same time, we had the scene down on Home Drive, mm-hmm. which is the initial scene. Mm-hmm. We had to break away because I talked to you at the office about doing search warrants, trying to relay Bill what we're going to need, and then the rest of the stuff happened. So,
yeah.
And I want to echo what y'all said. You know, the finest men and women that I could even question to have it out there that night. I cannot think of one thing that I would have done different as far as trusting them to do the job. Everybody flowed. We were getting information. A lot of people don't understand, you know, and we'll talk a little bit about the tactical call out here in a little bit. But having people in those positions to do the job, you don't have to worry about it. You know, I can tell that the investigators, supervisors, they know what to do. Mm-hmm. They know what to do. We're able to free up a little bit.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, everybody did a great job. And it was a long night because you think about it, you know, most people have been up all day Saturday, and then you get called out at night.
Some people were on an airplane.
Some people had just gotten off an airplane.
Two people. I believe one had just got back from vacation. Was that you? Was you one of them?
I was one of them. Yeah. Yeah.
Roger, I think Vargas was the other one that just got back from Hawaii.
Yep. I was literally just unpacking my luggage when my phone went off, and then, you know, we're out all night long. So it was a long night, and everybody did great, stayed with it and worked hard. And we still got – our detectives are still out here working hard right now as we speak and following up on a lot of leads and trying to
– You know, Troy, that's something that Sheriff, I think Joe's in her ear telling us.
I know that's kind of weird. We got 30 seconds.
But I do want to follow up, Troy. You just said something about been working since then. I don't know many people that have gone home and slept much since then because we don't quit. There's trails to run. There's things to do.
Listen, we'll be back here in about 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes, and we'll see you back. Thank you. Call us back or calling in.
More of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell is coming up on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty continues now. Here's your host, Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, and welcome to The Good, the Bad, the Guilty here on WSIC, coming to you from the new studio, new to us anyway.
It is new. It's
pretty. It looks nice. It's going to be even better. Joe says it's going to be even better as we go on.
It will. You got to trust us on that.
Hey, brother, I trust you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here today speaking with Sheriff Campbell and Major Troy Miller about some of the events that occurred over the weekend here in Iredell County. If you have any questions, comments, please give us a call, 844-788-3464. Again, that's 844-STUDIO-4. You can send messages via textbook, YouTube, X, LinkedIn, or follow us on WSICnews.com. So, guys, it's been a long several days for lots and lots of people.
Yes.
So, Troy or Sheriff, before we went to break, talking about how, you know, we had the resources, we had the ability to take situations like this, to investigate situations like this. But one of the points I think you started to make, Troy, before we were going off the air for a commercial, we don't quit.
No, you can't.
That's one of the things that I remember, Sheriff, when you were major and we were working back when I was on the team more active than now, of course. But I think you or somebody used to tell us, as long as there's rabbits to run, go run them.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know many, Troy, that we've quit or your team has quit since Saturday night. I mean, there's been people working 24 hours around the clock.
Right. And if you can't quit, because if you stop, you're taking that chance of losing evidence or witnesses forgetting stuff or just, you know, things just getting away from you. So it's, you got to stay on it in order to get the evidence that you need for these cases in order to have a successful prosecution in the future, mm-hmm. which in this case, one of our main suspects is deceased, but, you know, we still have the possibility of some other suspects being out there. So it's something you got to stay with it.
Well, I think that's a lot of things people ask, because, you know, initially the witness did say she's seen three, right. or he or she. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that's still, we know that's accurate. What we're hearing.
That's what we're still working with. We still think there's at least two other suspects out there.
And that'll come through. This is where the investigation slows down, gets methodical, and there's a lot of search warrants to be done. Yes. There's a lot of interviews to be done. There's a lot of people to talk to. But I don't think, and, you know, we said that night, we didn't feel that the community was in, you know, anytime you've got somebody participating in murder, you know, they're dangerous. But right. we don't feel that this, we don't think this was an isolated thing, so.
No, we don't. And when I just left the office, they were, we had about 10 detectives that were meeting in one room and trying to get everything together that we have so far as, you know, search warrants that we've done and information that we have. And we're trying to get all our detectives on caught up to speed. So, you know, we got everybody, like I said, when you're working these cases, you've got detectives that's down in Mooresville following up on some leads. You got detectives up here in Statesville in the office that's working on search warrants for cell phones or computers. And
somewhere in Baptist Hospital doing autopsies and things like that.
Absolutely. We had two autopsies yesterday that we had detectives at, and then there's another one tomorrow. So there's a lot that goes into these cases, and my years of working in law enforcement, this is probably one of the more complex cases I've seen, because you had, you know, like I said, you had two major scenes going on at one time. So, but yeah, they're over there and they're working hard, and we're getting some new leads as every minute goes by. So,
well, I think that's, community's been very open with us as far as, you know, the day after. I mean, calls, texts, food, and everything. But not just that, but send us information.
Absolutely,
send us information and messages.
Yeah, I know I've answered several phone calls myself, just people calling in like, hey, I saw this vehicle, it may match that description, or hey, you might want to look at such and such. So we're constantly getting phone calls and leads from the public, which greatly help us. So, yeah.
One of the things that I found interesting was just the way that, Sheriff, and you alluded to it, the way the community rallied around us as an agency. Because, you know, that's that early that morning, while the incident was still unfolding on Oswald Amity Road, I know you and I were kind of in the command hub there while everything was going on, listening to the CERT team and the negotiators trying to handle that situation at the suspect home. But we knew that we needed to push something out to the community to kind of let them know, as people were waking up and traffic mm-hmm. was starting to pick up. So then obviously the situation ended the way it did. So I know that you and I met Sheriff at the Sheriff's office, and we formulated a press release and we pushed it out to our community via our social media, and then the news outlets picked it up. I declare my phone rang more and got more text messages from more community friends mm-hmm. and more community partners. God bless y'all, praying for y'all, glad y'all are safe. What do y'all need? I know you heard from numerous sheriffs that morning, and I think that's really cool, the way your sheriffs kind of make sure that each other are taken care of, and that was really neat to see as well. So just a lot of community support for this agency.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I know I was getting text messages from people I didn't even know who they were. I'm like, who's this number? But they were saying, you know, we're thinking about y'all, praying for you. So yeah, it was great.
And that means a lot.
I mean, it does.
Means a lot coming from the community. And then to trust us and give us the information, because we've got a lot of valuable information since then.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So we're still working on it hard, and we're hoping to get some new information, some new leads, and hopefully come to some additional charges and arrests.
Well, yesterday was a good day.
Yes, absolutely.
And we'll talk more about that.
Yeah, that's, I was fixing to bring yesterday.
That's a teaser. Right, Joe? In at what you call a tease, Joe?
I think you hit it right on the head there.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir. For those of you that can't see Joe, he's in a room off to himself, kind of in this padded cell. I mean, dojo, right?
It's Joe's dojo.
Okay.
There it's the go. Dojo.
I call it Joe's broom closet, but, you know, I think that's what Justin calls it, right?
That's not very nice.
Well, and I think one of the reasons we wanted the show, not only because it's in the, and we, we've got numerous calls and interviews talking about it, but I guess, though I want to lead off, but it's really kind of, do you think it's like you see on TV when people watch TV and see a SWAT team, except this incident? So I guess the thing is, usually it's not when we served and we're still there, but it's, I can't think of a time we've really had nothing like this with potential to have over 100 rounds fired. And I think I'm safe to say, talking to some of the SBI guys, now we can say, you know, probably over 100 rounds fired at us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the SBI agent I talked to, and that's all they do is they invest, you know, they go out anytime there's an officer-involved shooting. But the agent I talked to said this is probably the most rounds he's ever seen fired at one of these type of incidents.
And for all the people, and just this is just a little, just to let you know, when we got the Bearcat with the drug dealer money, they said, yep. Why would we ever need that here? Why would we ever need that here? Troy, you think we needed it?
Absolutely. And you can, I know this is the second incident where the Bearcat has been hit with suspects firing weapons at our officers. So I saw there was at least two marks on the Bearcat where it was hit Saturday night with bullets.
And see, I hadn't even heard that yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And
other vehicles were hit as well.
Yeah, yes. That's what I was going to say. I knew how many patrol cars we have shot.
We had two of our patrol vehicles that were hit with bullets.
And then one of our UC vehicles.
One of our UC undercover vehicles or narcotics vehicles, yeah, which that officer's on the CERT team. So, yeah, we had they had some vehicles that were hit with bullets. So it was definitely a dangerous situation for our officers.
And Sheriff, I'm glad you brought that up. And I hope if you'll allow me to go on a tangent for just a week.
Well, he says we got about, can't hear it near, we got about 3 minutes worth of tangent, I think.
It won't be that long. But I do recall when you were in a team that was planning on buying the Bearcat with dope dealer money, no taxpayer money. When you were planning that, and I know that we were meeting with the company that makes these vehicles, and you wanted the interior sound system. You wanted the air conditioning. You wanted the extra insulation. You wanted the communications, Troy. And I know as you as a CERT team commander can speak to the benefits of all of that equipment in this vehicle for the protection of our deputies. But Sheriff, for everything that you got, well, you're just militarizing the sheriff's office. Why do y'all need a thing like that? I want to know where they were Saturday night, Sunday morning when we were getting shot at.
And
that's the person I want to talk to.
And trying to negotiate, have negotiators close enough inside of a bullet-resistant vehicle that you can talk to. Actually,
absolutely.
Because it was pouring down rain.
Yeah.
It was pouring down rain.
And it got cold and windy, foggy.
Joe, and I can't tell, and it's probably just because we're getting used to this. Do we have a call, or is that just I do see a call?
We may or may not have a call. I will check for you.
You told me not to answer the phone, so
we didn't train you yet. You got to come
I'm
in
not
for training.
Training. But if we do, thing. If we do, train we'll take you. One real quick.
We can train you. I'll find out.
Okay.
Continue.
So yeah, this Bearcat vehicle has been I know it's possibly saved some lives since we've gotten it a few years ago. So it's definitely been worth every penny that was spent of drug dealer money.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That and the MRAP and there again, it just goes back to Sheriff. Foresight, forward thinking, planning. God forbid we have these type of events, but having the equipment here, not let's get on the phone and try to find one. Let's not get on the phone and have to call from another county. It's here. We have it. We're able to utilize it to protect our deputies, to eliminate or to mitigate threats that may be to our deputies.
Absolutely.
And to protect the community.
And Troy will tell you, when we was on CERT team, moving up through the ranks of the SWAT team or CERT teams, same thing, that's what we're talking about. You know, we could have and call Catawba and maybe take it. But the problem is, your driver don't know who your operators are on the ground, so
absolutely.
We can't talk.
Yeah.
I think he was... We're learning this. We're trying to see if we've got calls or not.
I think Joe's playing charades in there.
I think he is too.
Exactly what he's doing.
But you know, it's nothing like you see on TV, except this situation probably was like you see on TV.
If this was on TV, it would have been a very interesting show to watch because it was very, I know all through the night there was gunfire exchanged from our suspect out the house toward our officers.
When I told Bill, when we was there, when Bill come up here, Bill was at the other scene, and we came in, and I said, I think he's shooting fireworks at first, because you could hear, but it was tracer rounds coming over us, and I'd never seen the tracer rounds.
And it was confirmed by the SBI who did the event that he did indeed have tracer rounds, a ballistic vest, tracer rounds, magazines. I mean, this man was ready to get after it.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about tactics, how we was able to walk away without having an officer injured or shot under those situations.
Yes, which is just amazing to me that none of our people were hurt during this. So
and I got to give hats off real quick before I forget. You know, the Highway Patrol's out there with us at night. They helped us with the roads. They helped us keep traffic back.
Departments, EMS.
Fire departments. Yep. Got to say, Pete helped us down there with the fire trucks that night. EMS stood by the whole night with us up at the command bus, and anything we needed, they were there for us.
Shepherd's Fire Department basically left the fire truck with us at the original.
And that's
crime
right,
scene.
We've got the crime scene down there. I forgot.
Thank them for that as well.
Yep. So we'll be back in about 3 minutes, I think.
Sounds good.
All right.
Have more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. Now more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
You make my favorite music play in there, buddy. Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and thank you so much for tuning in, or staying tuned in, rather, to The Good, the Bad, the Guilty here on WSIC with Sheriff Darren Campbell here today, Major Troy Miller. If you took a great call while we were at break, and sir, thank you so much for giving us a call. Appreciate those kind words, and we'll be in touch on that request. For those of you that want to call in and speak to the sheriff or Troy, myself, or even ask Joe a question, that number is 844-788-3464. Again, that's 844-788-3464. You can tune in or send a question or a message through Facebook, YouTube, X, LinkedIn, and WSICnews.com. Sheriff?
That rattled that off well.
Joe gave me this cheat card. I'm not that smart, sir. I promise you that.
I know we had to find that right before we went on with our breaking
news.
Yes, we
did. And for those that didn't have a chance to see Joe got all his steps in running from his closet over here to the studio like 37 times in a couple minutes, bringing us things and changing out wires. So, Justin, if you're listening, Joe got his steps in today.
Yeah.
It's better than the cell. Now it's
the
closet.
Bill was in here saying, Joe, he's in here saying, let's wait and see how many times we can run back and forth. We'll just wait and ask at different times.
That's okay. Now I don't have to go to the gym later.
There you go.
Well, I tell you, if COVID ever comes back, we're set up for that because he's totally isolated from us. Yeah. We just talk to him through a microphone.
Absolutely.
So. You're not getting me sick.
We'll slide cheese pizza under the door or something for you.
I like that idea.
There you go. Mm.
All right, Troy.
Yeah.
I done forgot where we was at before we went break. I didn't write little notes. But
one thing I was getting ready to mention was, or something we didn't mention earlier was, this our suspect from Saturday night was military trained.
Yes.
Military training, at least two AR-style rifles in the house, and body armor this guy was dealing with. And
that brings up a great point, you know, military and what we do, the way we train urban, I guess, the tactical team. We do a lot of that training.
Yeah.
And I know we take part, or in the past have always took part, we train a lot with the military. A lot of people don't know that. We train with the military at different places.
And we have some guys on our team and our sheriff's office that have military experience, which comes in very helpful to
us. Let me just go ahead and make a confession. I'll go ahead and confess to two former CERT team commanders. I was always kind of envious of CERT team folks. One, because you
was envious of y'all when was laying out there, too, just for the record.
Yeah, I was sitting in the car talking on the phone while y'all were out freezing to death. Didn't you have a cow almost attack you one time?
We'll talk
about that off air.
Yeah, that's off air. But that was when
Whoa,
I was looking
for. That's on air. That's an on air conversation. You said if I had any questions, I could come in and ask.
Okay.
What happened?
This ain't a comedy show, but I'll go ahead and tell you.
It was the Lippard case.
Christopher Lippard, the murder of five people in Haywood County. And basically, and I'm not going to tell the whole story, but part of my job, and I think you were a sniper, a sharpshooter at one point, too.
I was.
Well, I was, and our job was to go out and do surveillance prior to a team deploying. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I was out with a rifle, and I had a spotter with me, which yes. is basically got writes down or documents or relays what we say. We're laying there, and I'm looking through the scope, and I'm watching the house. I'm giving information back to who I think's in the house. All of a sudden, I feel somebody panting beside him, and I could feel things. I turn around. It's the biggest cow you've ever seen, standing right up over Tommy looking down.
Oh, man.
That just goes to show how well your camouflage and training was that cow didn't even see you guys there.
Yeah.
See? Yeah.
That's a plus.
Now, the funny part, before you even say it, because I know you're going to, the cow did relieve him, not near me. It was on the other guy.
I had an image there in my mind.
See, I wasn't going to bring that up.
I figured, Joe, I figured that before somebody called in, that would be the truth, because that was a joke for a long time.
But no, getting back to my original point, thank you for sharing it with the sheriff.
You're very welcome.
But the level of training and the different aspects of training that the CERT team did go through and continues to go through, we've seen now that we've added our patrol boats down Lake Norman, we now have waterborne operations, have woodland operations. Right. Urban operations, close quarters, in-house kind of operations, going out and doing searches. I mean, the things that our CERT team is capable of, just what I really do think, and there's a good reason why we don't give all their tips and tools and things out there, but I think the level of training that we have is surpasses a lot of folks here in North Carolina.
Yeah, and if you think about Iredell County, you got very urban setting in Mooresville, and then you got a very rural setting up in northern Iredell County. So, you know, our CERT guys they'll be training on how to handle a barricaded subject in a house, mm-hmm. or you may have a wanted subject that's out in the woods, and you're having to go out and do woodland search. Or now, you know, with our Lake Patrol boats, you may have a situation where you got to approach a house by water on a boat, and
or an incident on a boat like we had that was called in. Last summer, it ended up being a training operation for another jurisdiction.
Yeah,
but that could have turned ugly quick.
And you know, how bad that could have went is basically a call made to a real 911 center, which mm-hmm. is supposed to go to another part of the state, but hit our 911 center as there was a person on board with a gun and had killed four people and threw them off.
Yeah,
we deployed our Lake Patrol unit was the first ones on the scene as they confronted that boat and. That could have really been.
And
bad.
What they saw matched the information that they got from 911. But he said it was training, so we were there, and there again, Sheriff, going back to the training that our folks, our men and women receive, when it's time to go, we're locked and loaded and ready to go.
Right,
and we do invest. I think we talked to one of the agents, and he's a good friend of both of ours, and without saying his name, because I don't want to, you know, he's doing the other side of the investigation. But he said this is probably one of the best equipped teams that he's seen, and we do spend a lot on vests. I mean, you know, each one of the vests for them officers, the threat level that they have for their tactical vests is about...
For the CERT team members.
Yeah, for the CERT team members and patrol guys.
Yes.
But the CERT team, you know, they're different levels at about $6,000 apart. We have the helmet, the communications. You got to have clothes. We put them with trauma kits. We've got Bearcats, and then you've got rifles, and you've got all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And also, kind of delving away from where we were going, but I think the public needs to know, there is a shelf life on these vests and on these helmets.
Yeah.
And the way that we train with them and put them through the rigors that we do, those things are expensive, and they do have to be replaced periodically.
Correct.
And they're not cheap.
And Troy will tell you this, you know, the weather don't help it.
No,
Getting soaked with rain and Kevlar and the vest and, mm-hmm. and the communication. I mean, you don't think about it, and we can't control it. But, you know, you think one walkie that we communicate with, and this is on patrol anywhere, is $8,000 to $10,000.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So and then what happens in on a situation like that, we got to make sure that we're able to have – where are you charging your batteries?
Mm-hmm.
If we go for days and days, and we'll sort of hit that the last little, the complex, or how this could have really went. I mean, this was set up for the perfect storm with bad weather, communications, long drawn out communication. Right. Somebody's militarily trained. So we'll get a little bit of that in a little bit and how we overcome that. But
I
think you're right. And the training that, I guess, going back forward is the training that the guys go through on our tactical team. And I don't want to avoid because patrol, CID, everybody did a great job.
No, absolutely.
Night.
But in the end, know, talking about the CERT team was kind of at the tip of the spear. And then when that situation was over, and it was kind of, I don't want to say, in a morbid fashion, it was kind of neat. From a command staff point of view, that once the threat was over, once it was resolved the way that it was resolved, then to see that seamless kick over, everybody knew, okay, this situation's over, but now this is a crime scene. Now this is what we got to do. Now we got to string tape. Now we got to collect these weapons. just to see everybody just kind of know what to do and just kind of switch seamlessly into modes. I was really proud of all of our folks that were there. That was really neat. And like you say, Sheriff, I know that we were there, but to just see in people independently knowing what to do. Okay, I got to control the crime scene. Okay, we need to collect these weapons. Okay, we need to call EMS.
And we got a medical
examiner. Yeah. It was just a thing of beauty. It really was.
And you go from a situation where you're exchanging gunfire with a armed suspect. Well, now that situation's over, and now it's turned into a crime scene where you got to secure everything, start collecting evidence methodically, and it's just you really got to switch gears there, like you said. So. Mm-hmm.
And you still got to worry about if there's injuries. And one group I did forget that did a great job all night with us was Idle County Communications.
Yes,
they were amazing.
I was listening on. That seems like it's four different channels we're operating on. You're trying to hear this, and you're trying to keep people from responding with blue lights and make sure the word gets out. You've got the Highway Patrol coming to help us.
Yes.
You've got ECOM, which is our Idle Communication, still giving out 911 calls. I think we had an attempted suicide at the same time going on.
We had a missing juvenile in the north end of the county.
And we've got to make sure dogs can get there, and we've got the drone pilot that's part of investigation. So, you know, that is, I mean, it was a stressful.
And one of the there again, I don't want to use the term flippantly, but one of the neat wrinkles about it was all the people that were there, our CERT team guys, they're kind of out of play because of the IA and the other investigations that had happened. So I'm sitting there thinking in my head, okay, guys, are we ready to call in people that are off duty to come in and help answer calls? Because this amount of men and women are now out of play.
And at the same time, you got to remember for the oncoming shift, you got to have a relief factor to cover that shift.
Yes. I mean, it's... There was a lot of mental math going on that morning.
And that's one of the reasons we're going to talk to the commissioner a little bit. I would love to see a residency incentive, and that's not what we're talking about, but to encourage people to be inside the county. A lot of cities do it, but could you imagine how much this would help?
Absolutely. Because, I mean, you've got
to respond.
We've talked about it. Maybe we'll talk about it some more when we come back. But the size of our agency, we gobble up a lot of employees, so not just everybody from Iredell County that's in BLET can we employ. So we do have to hire people from outside the county. And some of those people are CERT team members. Some of those are crime scene investigators. So I think it's a good idea.
We'll come back. Every penny we spent on salaries and wages to get the top tier officers showed
Saturday. This is the kind of results that you get from it.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll come back in just a little bit. We'll be back in about 3 minutes and call in with any questions you'd have. Shoot us a message on or a comment on Facebook.
Now, back to more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Well, welcome back to the last 15 minutes of this week with The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty. As always, you can call us in 844-STUDIO, number 4, Facebook, YouTube, X, and LinkedIn, and as always, WSICnews.com. And Troy, it's our last little bit. Got about a few more minutes here, but one thing I want that's really jumping out at me is the complications that we face. We're talking about being able to hire the best officers, being able to get the best people, and take all this and just off the top of my head, I hadn't got a little bit of notes, Bill, you'll know what I'm talking about. We go from having most likely a quadruple homicide, but a double homicide in a community, in a mobile home area down there, looking for a suspect, the shots fired at our office with an automatic rifle, on a rainy night, foggy, you couldn't even hardly see to respond. Yes.
Yeah.
You couldn't even hardly see to respond. And at the same time, we have this individual that's firing shots at us, trying to assemble a SWAT team.
Right.
On a late Saturday night. And the biggest thing was we had three juveniles that we don't know exactly what the deal was, why they were in there, why they weren't in there. We do know, and we put in a press release, they were very uncooperative with us.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We have to worry about their safety. So, before we go through this, some will say, well, you hate to say it, and it's sort of like Bill used the word morbid, but had we went in too soon and shot him, it'd been wrong.
Right.
Had we waited in something, because we didn't know the hostages, we knew he was shooting at us, what he would do, then you'd have went too fast. And it comes to a point in the morning where I had to make the decision, we had to make the decision. People were starting to get up and move. Sun was coming up.
Yeah.
The location was our cover and our concealment we would no longer have. We knew that it had cleared off that morning, so we knew... If we used gas, the vapor would rise. We knew it'd rise quick. And taking all that in consideration and have a neighborhood, knowing we didn't know what kind of ammo. We knew it was an AR. We could see that, but we didn't know if he was using steel ammo. Was he using what? So we got okay. I think we got a caller, Bill. Yep. If you want to welcome. Okay, I think we've got a caller. Bill, I think he's gonna send it through.
Hey, William. Hey, caller, are you there?
Hey, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Aaron. Hey, William.
Roy. Hey. All you lawmen, my prayers are out for you. I pray for you guys every day, but y'all know y'all had a real busy weekend this past weekend. I was coming through there on Oswald Enemy and come up on the barricades, and I just turned around. I couldn't believe all the people that were trying to go through the barricade still yet. Anytime you come up on a barricade like that, there's a reason why it's up there.
Right. Yes,
it's
sir.
For your safety. It's for your safety, and it's for the individual's safety. So yes. Anyway, I turned around and went around about, you know, another way and made my day. And but anyway, I got a question for you guys. For people out here that want to get a concealed carry or open carry, is there a difference between the two permits, or one cover the other?
Bill, in North Carolina, you can open carry. As long as you're not a felon and anything, you can open carry in the state of North Carolina, unless it's restricted on the premises, which can be restricted in certain like parades, yes. City buildings, state.
Banks, right. Government buildings, things of that nature. North Carolina, sir, no longer requires you to get a pistol purchase permit. So I wanted to put that out there to answer your question. If you still wish to get a concealed carry permit, you still have to go through the process of taking the class
and
then bringing that. Yeah, you can apply for it through our app, or you can come to our office and we'll work with you. But you have to take the concealed carry permit class first. Then you apply for the permit. The state issues the permit. It's just the sheriff's office, kind of the conduit that it goes through. And then as soon as we get those back from the state, we'll give you a call, we'll send you an email, and you can come out, pick those up, and then you're able to carry that weapon concealed.
Okay, well, I just, I've never have carried mine open. I didn't know if there was a difference between the two permits.
No. Well, we do not have an open carry permit in the state of North Carolina.
Correct.
That's just basically the way the law does not restrict it, so you're allowed to do it.
Yeah, I just was wondering about that. I just don't carry mine out unless I need to, because it just causes tension.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
And so anyway, I just wanted to wish you guys prayers and glad that everybody come out of that situation good. I know you guys are trained for situations like that, but it still is dangerous, and I'm just glad that you guys come out of that okay.
Man, we appreciate it. Yeah. The call.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You have a good day.
You too.
Thank
y'all
you,
take care, okay?
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yep. Well, Troy, that's what I was going to hit on, about the kids and the challenges we face. Because like you said, we've both been in the same – we've been the commander of the team, and that was a very – for David, our commander, David Price, that was on the ground, well, as you was too, but that was a tough decision to weigh all those odds and report back to us.
I can't tell you how stressful – I mean, that, to me, it was – I remember sitting there at one point in the night and thinking, you know, this is almost a no-win situation. Because you've got an armed subject in the house who's firing rounds at officers, and you also got juveniles inside the house.
And he knew that. He knew that.
He knew that. And I will go ahead and say this too. These juveniles were not, I guess you would say, they're not innocent, because they were participating in this standoff. And we've even got some evidence that shows that they were live streaming during this and kind of bragging about being in a standoff. So these juveniles weren't completely innocent in this, but still they're juveniles.
And at the time we had no idea to know that. So we still have to operate under the assumption that we did, of maybe they're hostages, maybe they're just scared to come out. So yeah, you guys were amazing.
Yeah. And the negotiators, we had negotiators on the phone with both our armed subject at some points, and then also with the juveniles at some points. And our negotiators, did a fantastic job trying to talk to these people in the house,
to weed through the stuff that we knew wasn't factual. I mean, he was trying to purposely sit. At one time, I think in this statement, he alluded to the fact that he may be a hostage. So
yeah.
Then we don't know that.
At one point, our armed subject was saying he was being held hostage by the juveniles, and then you got the juveniles on the phone saying, "Yeah, we're holding him hostage." And then it switched, and it was just a very tough situation. But like I said, it was. they're still juveniles, and it's still stressful because you got juveniles in there in a very dangerous situation where one of them may be hurt.
And Troy, one thing that just to make sure it wasn't like he was leaning out the window shooting where we could see him. He was deep, and that's a tactic that we know. Mm-hmm. He was deep, hidden within the wound, shooting through, so we could not see the muzzle flash, but we couldn't just fire back willy nilly is the word because we didn't know where the juveniles
were. Yeah, because I mean that was my biggest fear is one of our rounds hitting a juvenile in the house. But it was you couldn't see where he was at, and he was moving from room to room. He would fire shots out the back door, move to a different room, fire out a window. So it was very difficult for us to see exactly where he was at in the house.
I'm going to tell you, I'm very, very, very proud to be affiliated with the group of men and women that done that job. From the very rookie that done it, one thing we hadn't put, one of our officers safe, he was just down the road and heard the shots go off. And I know we got to do the press release because
That was the original call. Yes, sir, Sheriff, and I'm glad you brought that up. We had a deputy. At the time, we thought there was a vehicle involved. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you bring that up.
No, we thought possibly it could be involved, but he heard the shots, and he went towards the shots. And at the same time, the neighbor called ECOM and notified him. But if he would have run into them coming out of that out of that road because of where it was, he'd run straight into them.
Yep, absolutely. He was just right down the street from where it happened.
Well, Troy, y'all done a fine job and continue to do a fine job. Bill, I think you got a – we hadn't left you a lot of time. We left you about 10 minutes.
Yeah, we kind of alluded to it earlier on. Yesterday, Ashley Louise Kelpfer, who is Troy, that is the
wife of our deceased armed suspect. Deceased, yeah.
Okay. You guys developed some information where she may have been involved. Our men and women on the homicide investigative unit took that information, verified it, and were able to get arrest warrants for her. So I think you sent the ACE team out looking for her. They were able to get her stopped in a vehicle stop. While she is driving around with warrants for her arrest, there's a 15-year-old with her, and when the vehicle was stopped and we searched him, he had a pistol shoved down his pants and methamphetamine.
Right. A loaded pistol.
So we were able to charge Ashley Louise Kelpfer, 40 years old, at 1580 Oswald Amity Road with felony accessory after the fact of the homicide.
Correct.
Then we had five counts of misdemeanor contributing to the delinquency of a minor, four counts of misdemeanor failed to secure a weapon or a firearm from a minor, all that stemming from the events of the couple days before.
Correct.
Then we were able to charge her with felony possession of methamphetamine, felony possession with intent to sell and deliver methamphetamine, drug paraphernalia. She received no bond, Sheriff, because she was already out on bond for some other criminal charges.
And she has not been cooperative that night, since. So I think that sets the stage of what investigators are still working at. We're going to dismantle it piece by piece, and we're going to figure out what happened.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. And I know you try to find humor in everything. I know that the other night I was at the office, and one of our Superior Court judges that was here in town was literally at our office. Most of the time, Sheriff, we go to their office. He was gracious enough to come to our office.
That ain't nothing. They tracked one down the other day on the walking trail.
And he's been to our office a few times this week.
Literally, he said, my hand is getting tired.
Yeah.
I'm writing these court orders. I'm tired. Obviously, it's their job, and he was joking. But just the mere fact of the immense amount of paperwork, the immense amount of brain thought that has gone into this case, making sure that we're right within the law, making sure going with juvenile law because we have to interview some of these
raise
folks
age
too.
Change. I'm gonna say, the ones that they're elected officials and they serve the community. That's Superior Court Judge Joe Crosswhite and Will Long is the ones we've been communicating.
They've
one was
been
on
fabulous.
A walking trail, and one come to as always, no matter what time it is, to help us.
Yes. Yep. Those two men are just amazing. And then before we leave for our folks in the southern end of the county, we want you to join with us in congratulating Jared Church, who was just promoted to Lake Patrol or Cop Sergeant. In the southern end of Iredell County in our cops unit. Jared joined us in 2018. He was a park ranger from 2009 to 2018. Then he came to work with us. He is a member also of our CERT team, so he was out there the other night. So just want to congratulate Jared on his promotion. And Sheriff, just to show you that some of the uses of our bear cat, in addition to
getting shot at.
Yeah, yeah. We were able to take the Bearcat down and show it to some of the kindergartners the other day at Lakeshore Elementary School for a Touch a Truck event. They got to talk to a couple of our CERT team officers and their SROs. So
before
always
we wrap
love being
up,
out in the community.
Hey, it is. Troy, I appreciate you being here. Bill,
yes,
as
sir.
Always. But I want to say once again, take this opportunity to say thank you to the community for the calls, the food, the outreach, the prayers, the thoughts.
Yes.
It's been unbelievable. I've been telling other sheriffs to call me and say, we don't get that. We've got it here. So thank you to everybody, and we will see you next Wednesday at the same
thank
time.
You.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Morrisville, North Charlotte.